joined this afternoon by Indie NXT champion Christian Rasmussen. First off, man, congrats, and how's the start of the offseason going so far?
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been nice. A few days off. Spent a few days out in California. Just kind of hung out. Had my first IndyCar sim test the other day, which was exciting. Now I just got back to Indy here yesterday and have a few days here before everything takes off again.
Yeah, so let's start there. You were in the sim a couple days ago. How different is, an IndyCar sim versus, just turning around and using iRacing or whatever sim that you might have, locally?
It's very different. In general, I'm not a big sim guy. I don't have a sim in my apartment. Obviously, sometimes I hang out with other drivers that have sims,
Sure.
and we get to drive around a little bit, but usually I'm not a big sim guy. I think for what you're trying to accomplish and what you can accomplish at home with a home sim, I think it's more prone to give you bad habits in the race car than it is to improve your driving. So that's kind of why I tend to stay away from it. But obviously, when you're talking like a professional sim like that, it's a different deal, So yeah, I very much enjoyed it. It's still different from driving a race car in real life, but it was a great experience.
Nice.
I guess following on that, you tested an IndyCar for the first time, I believe, last year at Mid-Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other opportunities to actually get back in the real thing and do some testing? Obviously looking towards an IndyCar seat for hopefully next year.
Yeah, very exciting. I have actually a test in an IndyCar coming up later this month.
Cool.
So very, very excited for that. I'm going to jump in Ed Carpenter Racing's car at Barber Motorsport Park. So looking forward to that. And that's why we were in the sim yesterday, was to prepare for that test.
I'll just kind of continue to piggyback off French's question there. You test at Barber Motorsports Park, which obviously you've run at every step of the way in the last couple of years. Does that familiarity with, whether it's there or Mid-Ohio last summer, kind of give you a little bit more confidence going into, what's obviously an important test no matter what, but a little bit more comfortability when you get testing in a couple of weeks?
No, for sure. I think it makes a big difference that you know your way around. Obviously, Barber this year went pretty well for me. I kind of just dominated the weekend, a new track record, won the race, stuff like that. So, yeah, for sure, that familiarity is going to do me good. Hopefully, we'll have a good day and we'll see.
So talking about dominating the weekend, obviously, Laguna Seca, you obviously clinched the championship, I think you had the championship in the bag well before then, but last 13 laps, you were over a second faster than the rest of the field. So you were not backing off, even though you were basically on the road to your Indy Next championship, which I'm sure was a huge milestone. Did you have any chance to think about what you were about to accomplish, or were you just pushing as hard as you could go and just in kind of race mode?
No, I think it was just a matter of, you're always a little conservative going through the season, right? You're trying to get the best result that you can. You don't try to overpush. You want to, make sure you don't make mistakes and stuff like that on the day. But Sunday at Laguna Seca was a little bit different. I had already accomplished everything I needed to accomplish this year. I went into the race already a champion. I found out that I didn't even have to take the green flag as soon as my car passed tech that morning. I had last place points would be enough to clinch the championship. But again, starting from pole position, I'm a racer. I don't want to, not push. But having that in the back of your mind that no matter what you do, you're a champion, you can just kind of go into it with a little bit of a different mindset. I just went in wanted to enjoy my last Indy Next race. I have been in the series for 2 years now, so it was a lot, you know, that came down to that one race. And you know, obviously we had been fast all weekend. I was in pole position for a reason. Got second in the first race, even though we missed it a little bit with some tire pressure stuff. So we knew that we were going to be stronger than on the Saturday. So I just kind of, you know, went out from the start. Obviously, you push from the start trying to create that gap. And there, from there on out, I was just, you know, pacing myself a little bit. You know, I had experience from the day before on how much you can push the tires through the race for them to, you know, hold up and stuff like that. So I kind of had a direction on how much I wanted to push in the different stages of the race. And I just kind of tried to do that. I kept getting told that I was pulling away, pulling away, pulling away, pulling away. But I knew that if I kept doing that, one, I would win the race. And two, you know, the tires would be okay for the end. So, yeah, like you say, they could, well, I wouldn't say they could keep up at the start, but, you know, it was a closer gap at the start. But then towards the end, I think a lot of the other guys had probably tried to overpush a little bit to conserve tires for the end. I was fast and still could conserve my tires at the start, which gave me a huge, huge advantage at the end. I think I hadn't used any push to pass up until, like, I don't know, with like 10, 12 laps to go. So from there on out, I had great tires. I was pushing, I was fast, and I had a bunch of push to pass. So just took off from there. I think I ended winning by like 17 and some change seconds. Would have been more, but I kind of like coasted all over the line. Yeah, it was a very enjoyable race for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun experience for a race car driver to finish a championship out like that.
Yeah, no, so, it was awesome. It was awesome.
So what you're saying is you wanted to get done the race as quick as possible so you could get to the celebration. So you were like, let me burn that push to pass, even though I'm 15 seconds up, because there's some champagne calling my name or whatever the celebration of choice is, and we're going to get there. But in all seriousness, you had a pretty damn good year from start to finish with only, you know, one result outside of the top 10. You know, how much of that can you attribute to, you know, a second year in the series and having a little bit more familiarity with the car, but also how strong HMD Motorsports is from, you know, from top to bottom?
Yeah, I think it just goes to tell on how strong of a package altogether we were. You know, it's a team sport. You know, I couldn't have done it by myself. I've had some great support from HMD Motorsports this year. And I think just with all the experience that I took from last year, in terms of driving in the Indy Next championship and kind of learning from some of the mistakes that I did last year. And we just, you know, took all of that information from last year, took it into this year, got better, and went for a championship, obviously, and got away with it.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform, or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report. your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammer Down Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
So thinking about your off-season plans, I guess the first thing I want to ask about is, I think I remember that are you going to do Petit Le Mans with the Aero Motorsports guys? Okay, so you got some more racing coming up. I know you did Petit last year. Are you kind of looking forward to a 10-hour endurance race around Road Atlanta?
I'm super excited. I've really enjoyed my time with Aero Motorsports this year, running obviously the 24 hours of Daytona, 12 hours of Sebring, Watkins Glen, and now Petit Le Mans. Petit will be the first time I go into a race weekend in the P2 car with a little bit of familiarity. Obviously, that was my first event last year. That was kind of a little test for me to kind of get my seat for this year. Went super well in terms of pace. Obviously, our results didn't show that because of a suspension failure we had from some damage earlier in the race. Really nothing I could have done, to change that. But I was able to show everyone what I could do in a P2 car already in my first weekend of the series. I had the fastest lap of the race up until like an hour to go. Obviously everything gets cooler, it gets quicker and stuff like that. So I was able to show early on that, I was competitive in another car than I'm used to driving, which I think is a very important, thing to be able to as a race car driver, not only being fast in the race car you drive daily, but also you can jump in and be fast right away in something else. And ultimately that's what got me the seat with Aero Motorsport this year, just showing that I had the pace. Obviously there's some experience with running in traffic and all of that stuff, but you build that on as you go. I think pure speed is harder to learn than all the other stuff. And it was great. I got the opportunity at Petit to, make all the rookie mistakes. I'm not used to pit stops and stuff like that. So I went long in the pit lane, had to drive around another lap in practice and small stuff, all the driver change stuff. It was just great to get all of that experience in so that we were ready for this year and could go push from Daytona.
So kind of continuing on that, do you hope to be back in that car for, the Rolex 24, which at this point is almost practically around the corner? It's only a couple months away now.
Yeah, it's wild. I just feel like I just jumped out of the car at Daytona not too long ago. But this season has gone by so quick. And yeah, I hope that I get the opportunity to come back. I think it's a great, great thing you can do besides your other racing. Obviously, my first priority is to get into IndyCar next year and doing a full-time ride. But if I can do some sports car stuff on the side, that would be great. I really enjoy working with Aero Motorsport. I think it's a great group of guys. I have a lot of fun on the weekends, and together with them just being a good group of guys to hang out with, we're also super competitive. Got second at Watkins Glen, third at Sebring, and been fast every time that we hit the track. So if I could be able to continue the program with them next year, alongside my IndyCar ride, I think that would be a pretty great year for me.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of piggybacking off the off-season discussion, do you have any downtime this off-season where you get to just like go on vacation or do something that isn't involved a race car or contract discussions for 2024?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we are in full attack mode to try and secure a seat for next year. So that hasn't happened yet. So, it kind of depends on when that happens. And then whatever team that may be that I might sign with, what plans they have for me. You know, for me, I want to do as much as I can in the off season to set myself up in the best way possible for whenever St. Pete comes around. You know, so even though it is an off season, I want to, you know, continue working as hard as I have all year, if not even harder, to kind of, you know, set myself up for success next year. I don't want to come into IndyCar and know that I could have done more in my off season to, you know, better my result. I want to know that I did everything that I could to you know, get the sure. best the best results possible. So that's going to be my off season plans. There's going to be a lot of working out, I think. You know, stepping up into an IndyCar is not a joke. Even though I feel very, very fit, and I think that has also been, you know, one of the strengths of mine this year, in terms of all, probably also a lot of the other drivers on the grid. I think my fitness level has been super high. I've put a high standard down in terms of that. Also, you know, thanks to PitFit training and all of those guys that I get to work out with. But yeah, there's going to be a lot more of that. Yeah, just, you know, the normal preparation stuff.
So speaking about that physical training that you mentioned, is there a lot that you have to change kind of previewing or hoping to get into an IndyCar next year? Or do you kind of already train similar to what an IndyCar driver would be doing right now?
Well, I work out alongside a lot of the IndyCar drivers. Yeah. So I know that what they do and what I do is very, very similar. Okay. Obviously, there's a little bit of difference in terms of their schedule and my schedule, but overall we get all the same workouts in. So I know kind of the mentality of PitFit training is to, even though that I run in Indy next, I want to train at the IndyCar level so that whenever I get the opportunity to jump in an IndyCar, then I'm ready for it. So that's been the mindset all year. And I think also that's why, you know, I've been so strong physically this year, just because that has been the mentality all year. And I, you know, was hoping to get the shot at an IndyCar ride, and I wanted to be prepared for that.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, I think that's all we've got for you, man. So again, congrats and best of luck throughout the off season. We'll see at the, hopefully see at the track in St. Pete in an IndyCar.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. I look forward to get everything started. I'm excited going into the off season with the testing that I have coming up, and hopefully we can you know, convert that into an IndyCar ride full time next year.
Yeah, you'll have to come definitely, back on when you announce your ride.
Yeah,
we'll do. Thank you guys.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Sports stars, they're like superheroes,
but they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.